Blog Talk Radio.
That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it is good for us to be here. Thank God that we're able to proclaim the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the word of our God, as Apostle Peter says. So we thank God that we're here just another day. Somebody said, look where He brought me from. Look where He brought me from. He brought me out of darkness into His marvelous light. Look where He brought me from. Said He brought me from a long ways off, talking about Jesus. He brought me out of darkness into His marvelous light. So this is what Peter said, that we should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we want you to know, as we know, that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all, as the writer says in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. So we thank God for His word. So like the people is grass, the writer says, Isaiah says, surely the people is grass, says the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So this is the word of the Lord, which by the gospel is preached unto you. So Apostle Peter had picked up that quote out of the book of Isaiah. So we thank God that we have His word. The entrance of His word giveth life, gives understanding to the simple. Thank God for His word. So this is why the writer goes on to say in that same psalm, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So this is what God is. So this is, He wants to be our all and all. He wants us to trust Him. So this is in the 19th a psalm where I made that quote, the 14th verse, about let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we know, so we go on, go up a little further. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So more to be desired than they are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So he goes on to say, ask the question about the Lord. Who can understand His errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let not them have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Then he goes on, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So God can see. He knows our thoughts are far off, even before they enter into our mind. So we were making the quote earlier, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and you all. So he goes on to say, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? The question, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's one office right there. Pastor is the teacher in the local church. So that's a fourfold ministry, not five. So why is this? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So this is what we are endeavoring to let you know, that Christ is the head, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, and their understanding being darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So he goes on to say, who being past feeling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned, Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So this is what we're endeavoring to do, is to let you know that the truth is in Jesus. So we have dubbed this ministry Truth Ministry. So I just want to give kudos and thanks to all of our listeners. Thank God for all of our Facebook listeners and followers, all of our Twitter listeners and followers, and also all of our Blog Talk followers and our Blog Talk friends. We say greeting. We say praise the Lord to you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So thank God for you that are listening live to this broadcast on October the 10th, 2011, and also you who will listen to this show on demand. Thank God for you. Thank God for the vehicle, Blog Talk Radio, and the World Wide Web, that we're able to fulfill the commission, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So we thank God that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, and that is the name of Jesus, like the master himself said in the 24th chapter. So thank God for you. So also we'd like to give you our call-in number should you desire to call in and have a comment or have a question. By the grace of God, we will endeavor to answer your question, or your comments are welcome. And our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. So we thank God for some of our other followers. My brother, natural brother and brother in the Lord, and that is in the person of Elder Broderick Cannon, who was the one that I found out about Blog Talk Radio through back in 08. Kudos to him. His ministry comes on, I believe, on tomorrow at 6 p.m. It's called That's Book. 6 p.m. tomorrow, it's called That's Book. Also, a friend of mine that started Blog Talk Radio 2 just before I did, Harriet Kamak Ministries. Harriet Kamak Ministries. She has a variety of things, but she's definitely an advocate against domestic violence for women. So kudos to Harriet Kamak, and we wish her Godspeed also. And I think her broadcast, I believe, comes on at 8 p.m. on today, if I'm not mistaken. So thank God for her. So we are continuing on in this subject we've been dealing with for approximately 9 or 10 weeks, and that is the Godhead. We have still more to say, and knowing you can't exhaust the word of the Lord. So at this time on the day, we're going to be, our lesson is coming out of the book of the prophet Zechariah. So thank God for this prophet. So our endeavor, by the grace of God, is to preach and teach the word of the Lord. We want to declare unto you the word of the Lord, because it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So it's not about us, but it's about the Lord. So that's why you just have to really pay close attention to repetition. And when you look at the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he gave warnings about the signs of his coming and of the end of the world, and he let the disciples know to take heed that no man deceive you. So that's even talking about us. So it's up to us. You have the right as an individual not to let no man deceive you. That means woman too. No human being. I don't care who they call themselves, what their title is, no disrespect. But if they're a deceiver, if they're an antichrist, you need to get away from them because they're deceiving you. So it's going to be up to you, because people are going to be saved by words that they hear. People are going to be lost by words that they hear. So no one has to be intimidated. So it's not about respect me, I'm the man, or I'm the woman of God. If you're not saying what God says, then I'm getting away from you. So that's the attitude that we got to have. You got one soul. You got to, and Peter said it when he preached on the day of Pentecost. That is, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So that's up to us to do just that, to save ourselves. So we can't be fooled. We don't need to be fooled. We don't need to let nobody make a fool out of us or hustle us or pimp us. And those are strong words. And a lot of people don't like those words, and a lot of deceivers and people that are preaching themselves, and people whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, they mind earthly things. Those type of individuals you want to get away from. And so this is why we're endeavoring by the grace of God to say what the word of the Lord says. So trying to let people know that there is one person in the Godhead. A lot of people don't understand the Godhead. And there are things, people say things, so you gotta be very careful, even so you don't be deceived, because God left on record what he would have us to know. And it doesn't matter, like people get upset with the messenger, but the messenger is just bringing the word, but it's the Lord who sent the word. So this is what we got to line up with, the one who sent the word. So we should not be all upset with that, because it's not our word, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ's word. So lest we can be tied up and tangled up in the gospel like Apostle Paul was, so committed until he called the gospel his gospel. So you can be like that, then you can do that. I mean, we are the body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ. That is, those who have repented, those who have been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, those who have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives you to utter. Like some people say, as the Spirit of God gives you, yes, the Spirit of God, but the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 2 and 4, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them to utter. No doubt, the Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. Now, some things we want to just, we'll establish here in the book of Zechariah. Like I said, there are so many places just to prove this particular scripture that I'm going to get to before this broadcast is over on this evening is going to let you know about the one God, the same thing. So we look here, we start off the burden of the word of the Lord. So we know who's speaking here. For Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. So that's the same one back in the beginning. Created man from the dust of the earth. There's no another Lord. Ain't no, he don't need no help. He's God all by himself. This is what we were trying to let people know when we were using some scriptures out of the book of Isaiah. Let the Lord speak for himself. But anyway, these things having to do with the tribulation period, Jerusalem being besieged and all, but just some points that we want to make as we fly through. So we already been letting you know that there are three scriptures in the Bible which have the word Godhead in them. Excuse me. That is, the first one is in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 17 and 29. It says, we ought not think that the Godhead is like unto silver, gold, and all those things. And I'm going to turn there right quick. But that's the first mention. And all by the man, the apostle to the Gentiles, and that is none other than the Apostle Paul himself. So Acts 17:29. So anyway, he goes on here. We have to look at what he was talking about actually here in the 17th chapter of Acts. I'll just go through here right quick. But anyway, he had went through Athens, all Athens, the Athenians, and strangers which were there spent their time and nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. The Apostle Paul here. Then Paul stood up in the midst of Mars hills and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Notice that. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein. So that's what we just read in the book of Zechariah. Said what it says, that saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Same one. So anyway, so he goes on to say, God that made the world and the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of all of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breadeth and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, we move, we live, in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Whose offspring? God's offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by the art of man's device. So, he goes on, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. Talking about Jesus, that body. When they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from them, howbeit certain men clave unto him, and believe, among the which was Dionysius, Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with him. So the point being, this is the first mention of the word, term, Godhead. And so the next one will be in the book of the Romans. So we know that that church, he didn't start, but he had heard of their gift, of their faith in the book of Romans. And so he heard of their faith, and he came to Rome. And that's when he was saying he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Actually, in the book of Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. So anyway, in the 20th verse of the first chapter in the book of Romans, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, and knew an image made like unto corruptible man, and the birds and four-foot beasts and creeping things. So God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. He who changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. This cause God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was also meet. So in other words, God just let them go ahead and do their thing. So I've heard people call in on radio shows and make comments about homosexuality, and that's exactly what that's talking about, and then try to act like that you don't read about it in the New Testament. Oh, yes, you do. It's evil concupiscence, illicit sex, all of those. There's different terms, and this is definitely making it plain right here in the book of the Romans. That is talking about homosexuality. So why people's minds are going on. But anyway, the point being, what we're establishing, and that is that the term Godhead is three times in the scripture. So, and then also in the last one, when he wrote to the church at Colossae and told them, beware of vain deceit, philosophy, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Notice the operative word is Christ. And he goes on to say, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Godhead, there's that word, Colossians 2 and 9. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. Remember we were talking about baptism in the name of Jesus? That's the only way you ever read. The only formula they use in the scriptures when they baptize people, when they have baptized them, take them down in water, they call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the name of Jesus, or the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. or the name of the Lord Jesus. Anyway, they say Jesus when we baptize, not titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So this is the Godhead. So there is only one person in the Godhead. God can never be what he is not. You cannot contain God. He gets done being what he wants to be. He goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be. He's always God. He didn't stop being God because he became man. He is still God. So you can read that also in the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation. So we have been through many scriptures just to give you a little taste about who he is and what he can do. So in Revelation 5:5, one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Because he was saying he couldn't find nobody in heaven or on earth to open this book. He wept much because no man was worthy to open the book and read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, this is John the Revelator now, this is after the rapture of the church, fourth chapter, the church is in heaven. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. So he took it from himself. So this is God in all his glory, said the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. God in all his glory. So what we want to talk about today, the burden, we've been talking about the burden of the word of the Lord. So the burden, that's God himself. When you look at that word here in the scripture, so we know who's talking. So, burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, comma, self same one, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. So he was saying, I'm going to make Jerusalem a couple of trembling unto a people round about, when they shall be in siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. That day I will be make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, all that burden themselves, which it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. So in other words, he's going to smite the horse with astonishment and his rider with madness and all these things he's going to do in that day. But here's the thing that we got to bear in mind, what is being established here in this book of Zechariah, and that is, they did not believe the Messiah. How he's got to prove himself. So many different things are going to happen. And the scripture that we read when we come on, I want to go back there. There is a part of it that I don't read when I come on, just in the interest of time. But I'm not omitting anything and by doing that. And so that's why right now, I want to go back just a point of information and clarification. That is, so I read, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. Then all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this part I omit. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. So anyway, go on here about John, and he was not that light, but sin to bear witness with that light. Verse 9, that was the true light, the light of every man that cometh into the world. So verse 10, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And so, and then the world, and but as many as received him, that's the part right there. To them gave power, he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So anyway, the point being is that they, Israel, when said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So they did not believe him. So that is the thing that God is proving to them, that he did come into the world, and they did not believe him as a nation. So this is the point that we're going today. We're dealing with the burden and some of the tags, words that they're going to look on me, whom they have pierced, is the point being here as we go on here in this scripture. We're going to get to that part. So there are other things going to happen in that day, what he's going to do. Governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. And that day I will make the governor of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, like a torch of fire in a sheath, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. That day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. So here is the important point that I want to get to here. And there are people probably didn't even realize that this is the Lord Jesus right here, which is the same Lord, which is the same God. Back in the beginning, remember I said, if you follow me, in the beginning, God is a divine testimony, Genesis 1 and 1. There's only one witness on the stand, and that is God himself. So, in verse 10, I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. There shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They are going to be astonished because they didn't believe. See, this is what Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the church at Corinth. Said how they crucified about the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. And he was saying none of the princes of this world knew. Said that had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So just remember, you on last week, I believe I read the scripture, 1 John 3 and 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And how did God die? He didn't die as a spirit, but he died as a man. So this, they're going to be astonished, because as a nation, they did not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came. So this is why they go to that wailing wall. They're weeping and wailing, looking for the Messiah to come, and the Messiah has already come. They did not believe him. So that's why Jesus, they knew that he called himself the Son of God, and he told them, he said, if you would have known Moses, you would have known me, because he wrote of me. So they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to believe that. In the fifth chapter, and all the way in the eighth chapter of St. John, when he said, before Abraham was, I am, he's saying Abraham was his father, and saying that he was the Son of God. And Abraham rejoiced to see his day. They said, you're not even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And in St. John 8 and 58, he made the mighty declared, before Abraham was, I am. So he is the self-existing one. So he can appear whatever form that he wants to appear in. So we got to see that he is God. He can do whatever he will. They did not believe that. But he's going to pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one mourning for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So that's going to be amazing when they see that. So even we go on down farther, because the point being, just like we said, there is saying what the scriptures say. So you can't go wrong when you say that, and you can't understand spiritual things until you have been born again. So it takes the Spirit of God in you to understand spiritual things. That means, just like he said, he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. That's why he goes on to say, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. So you're not going to see it. So what we got to bear in mind, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. That's why he goes on, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So that is so important. So in that day shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. They shall no more be remembered. Also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. It shall come to pass that when any shall prophesy, any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. And in that day, and it shall come to pass in that day, that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am no husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. So here it is right here. One shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, these which with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. So we know that's talking about the Lord when they see those wounds. Wake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered. I return mine hand upon the little ones. So we know that's what happened. Even in the days when they came to get the Lord Jesus Christ, they smote the shepherd, the sheep were scattered. Everybody forsook him. Peter said he wouldn't. Everybody said they wouldn't. But everybody forsook him because he had to be alone to do the job that he had to do. But anyway, they're going to see the wounds in his hands. They're going to see. They're going to ask him the question. He's going to let them know, I was wounded in the house of my friends. So we can clearly see that there is but one God, the self-same one. So people are going to be astonished at the things that he is going to do. So, but they have not been paying attention to what he even said under the law before grace was ushered in. There's so many important things that he said. And so even all that he said was so very important, people didn't really pay attention to what he was saying. But they're going to wish they had taken heed to what our Lord has said. So that's why it's so very important to pay attention to the word of the Lord. So that's even he said, things that he said that were so very important, and even in the Gospels, before he ushered in, before grace was ushered in, this was under the law. And that's why Apostle Paul, when he preached in the book of Romans, he was saying Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believed. That's when he was saying, don't say in your heart who's going to ascend into heaven to bring Christ down, who's going to descend from the into the deep to bring him up. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach. So that quote that he was talking about is talking about the words of the law and all is out of the book of Deuteronomy. But anyway, here in the seventh chapter of Matthew, he was saying, judge not to be not judged. With judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye? How would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so he goes on, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet, and they turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. For everyone that asketh receiveth. Him that seeketh findeth. Him that knocketh it shall be open. What is it? What man is there of you whom if he ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? He's asking a question. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Remember, I was saying, this is the law. Under the law, during his ministry, and grace was ushered in after his death. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many be there which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You should know them by their fruits. So this is what's so important. He was saying, enter in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many be there which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few be there, that find it. Look at all these people that are on television. Most of them lying to you, telling them this is your time. The Lord Jesus Christ did not die for folks to be making money off of records and so-called gospel music and all of that. They're doing it. They're making money. That ain't why he died. He died that souls would be saved. He didn't die for people to hustle and pimp the gospel with records and all of that. Yeah, they're doing it. That ain't why he died. He died. He came into the world to save sinners. What Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. So he goes on, beware of false prophets, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You should know them by their fruits. So people are doing all these crazy things, asking people for their W-2s, teaching Israel's blessings, crowning themselves apostles. That is not God. Folks have become more important than the master himself. I'm the man of God. You got to be connected to me. That no, in the local church, you have to have a leader. This, you have to obey them which have the rule over you. The rule is the word. If they're not saying what the word says, you can get away from them. You're not tied to them. They got to say what the word says. So he goes on here, but you should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A tree cannot bring forth fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruit shall ye know them. So here's what I wanted to get to. This is what a statement he's saying. Remember that in the Old Testament, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess unto God. The quote in the book of Isaiah, well, here it is right here. Let everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Listen to this statement. Many will say to me in that day. Who's talking? You got to know it's Jesus talking. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? What name? The name of Jesus. They're praying in the name of Jesus. They're trying to get you to give them money in the name of Jesus. They call themselves preaching in the name of Jesus. But too many cases, they won't baptize in the name of Jesus. They don't understand English, that the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Matthew 28 and 19, he didn't say, repeat after me. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. No one ever baptized in that name until Constantine had that so-called vision. That's Catholic Church brought in that damnable doctrine of the Trinity, and they start baptizing in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which the devil himself knows there's no remission of sin in the name of the titles, but the remission of sin is in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's why it's so essential to be baptized in his name. So anyway, he goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That means they preach. In thy name cast out devils. They're saying this. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Folks giving away big wheels and tricycles and all this stuff in the name of turkeys and the name of all the stuff they're doing. Souls is what's important. That is, the emphasis should be on the souls. It's all right to help people. That's fine. But he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Not for folks to be bragging on hustling people on giving away things that they bought, and it's just different little gimmicks. I mean, that's not the way that Christmas has nothing to do with the Lord. No way. And too many times, Christmas and the birth of Christ, there is no connection. Christmas and the birth of Christ is two different things. Has nothing to do with Jesus. Some foolishness, some man in a red suit, and all that kind of garbage, and folks getting out doing their Christmas shopping. You can do what you want. You can buy what you want anytime you want. But it has nothing to do with Jesus. And too many people are scared to say it. So it's about Jesus. What we do, like the song says, only what you do for Christ will last. So anyway, so he says, so, and these things that people are bragging and talking about. I mean, why you got to wait? I mean, Thanksgiving is probably one of the holidays, and it doesn't matter. We say it comes from the pilgrims and all that stuff. I mean, you're supposed to be thankful all the time. And everything, to give thanks. So that's about one of the so-called holidays that make more sense than any of these so-called days. But Christmas itself is a pagan day, and the word Christ Mass came out of the Catholic Church. Christ does not need a mass. That's what that's talking about. But anyway, the point being, people, they're bragging, you know. We done these things in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works. This is what he said, they're going to say this to me. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's why you want to get baptized in the name of Jesus, so you can be saved, so you can have your sins remitted. So that these people who never knew him is the ones he's telling to depart from him. So that's why it's so important. You got to know who you're working for. You got to get the right commandment so you can carry out the commandment. You don't know what the mission is. You can't fulfill the mission. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he took on a body. sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So this is why he came into the world, Apostle Paul said, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So not to be promoting ourselves and to be playing with people's minds and to be using words, philosophical, preaching to the mind. Apostle Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but he said, I came in power and demonstration of the Spirit. That your faith won't be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, I don't want to know anything among you. He's talking about that Corinthian church. Save or accept. That word means Jesus Christ and him crucified. So I was in you in much weakness and trembling. So in other words, it's about Jesus, not about our philosophical tidbit, you know, trying to reach men's intellect. But it's a simple gospel about the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the sending back of the Holy Ghost, the Lord coming back to appear to take his church out of here, and the second coming of the Lord. You want to be with him in his second coming because he's coming back to fight. When he stepped foot on the Mount of Olives and crack it in half, God's going to, the day of the Lord, when the Lord's going to slaughter in that mount, Battle of Armageddon, which is the Mount of Slaughter. The word in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon, means Mount of Slaughter. It's going to be blood 200 miles long up to the horse's bridle. That's deep. You know how you stand on the ground and how high a horse's head is. God is not going to be playing. So he's going to judge the earth. He is not going to be playing. Men that have transgressed against him, they're going to get their due. So this is why he goes on to say, so this is so very important. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So we got to hear what he says and do what he says. We want to go the straight and the narrow way, not the broad way. This is why in the book of the Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Not just be satisfied. And nowadays, they got so-called mega churches. So many people are deceived, and they just in there, and they just think it's God because people are wowed by the preacher just putting out stuff and everybody looking to him. And if he's not rightly dividing the word of the Lord, then some of these so-called preachers don't believe in the oneness of God, don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't believe in the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you got to be born again of water and of the Spirit. That is the new birth. That is repentance of sins. And water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues and believing in the oneness of God. There's the same one who died for you is the name of the same one that you got to be baptized in. That is the name of Jesus. That's the only one you're going to see sitting on the throne because he is just God, appeared in another form. He was the prophet. He is the priest, and he shall be the king. The sonship was given for a purpose. You can read in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, then cometh the end, he shall put down all rule and authority. He must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. Last man, enemy that is destroyed, shall be destroyed is death. And the reason why that he had to take on a body, because God, the divine essence of God is spirit, and the spirit doesn't have a body. If the spirit doesn't have flesh and blood, that's why he had to take on a body. Couldn't be contaminated, but the blood came from heaven. The body came from the woman. That's why we said, Luke 1 and 35, says, how this is going to happen, Mary says, seeing that I know not a man, the power of the high is going to ever overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So, and the Jews, they know that. that you're equal with, you're the Son of God, you're equal with God. They knew as the nation that he was, that when you're the Son of God, that you are God. And as a nation, they were blind. They did not believe him. The veil was on their heart, which veil is done away in Christ, which 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, or what Apostle Paul is writing about, said, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So it's your turn. When they turn their heart to God, then they're going to see that Jesus is the Messiah that came, and they missed him. And they're going to see. They didn't believe the one that was written about should come, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, so he goes on, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him, unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And understand, like we said, doctrine is teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So you got to understand who he is. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the only person in the Godhead. So it's what we got to understand. The oneness of God is so very important. And you don't have to be ashamed. And so there is no other. And so the emphasis is on that. Like we say, there is no such thing as the Trinity. So we got to, it's going to be clearly understand the things that are in the world or in nature are clearly understand by his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. So the same one that is the good shepherd is the same one too. So this is why Apostle Paul said, today in conclusion, though our time is just about gone, 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. That word potentate means supreme ruler. So the only supreme ruler is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We thank God for you on today. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is TRUTHMINISTRY 5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.